third chapter, and I want to illuminate in your hearing verse number 30. I encourage you to read it in its entirety during your daily and or weekly Bible meditation. But since, amen, Pastor put me on a time limit, I'm only going to read one verse. Amen. That's verse number 30. I'm grateful to have with us this morning, amen, the fragrance of freedom and the love of our life for 24 years. This month, July 23rd, will be 24 years that I married up. Amen. Lady Crump is here with me today. I'm grateful, amen, for her being right by my side in marriage and ministry. Amen. Minister Anthony Smith, our executive assistant, is here traveling with us on today, and we bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters there in Rock Hill, South Carolina at Freedom Temple Ministries. Daniel chapter 3, verse 30, when you have it, let it be made known by declaring emphatically, I'm in the Word. Amen. And I'm sure you would agree that's a great place to be, especially in times like these. We've got to stay in the Word of God. Daniel chapter 3, verse 30 shares this thought with us. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And God's people said, amen. Amen. We thank God for the reading of his word that suggested unto us and informed us that the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, promoted the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And from Daniel chapter 3, verse 30, I just want to share with you this morning, and I'm here to make an announcement over your life. Amen. Tell your neighbor some good news is coming. Lord, have mercy. And what I'm here as a messenger of God to announce to you this morning is that God said you're up for promotion. And if you caught that in your spirit, just why don't you personalize it and just speak to somebody on your row and tell them I'm up for promotion. Come on, you don't sound like you believe it yourself. Come on, if you're excited about your future, not intimidated about your present, don't care about your past, just smile at your neighbor and tell them, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm excited because I'm up for promotion. That's what I want to talk about for a few moments. I'm up for promotion. Family, one of the most mesmerizing and motivating moments in one's life is when they pause to ponder the path on which their life has progressed, to the extent where you take an intimate and honest reflection of the journey that you've traveled on in your life from there to here. From there, the place where you started, where perhaps it wasn't always easy, it wasn't always comfortable and convenient, but God deposited strength that you didn't even realize you possessed until you found yourself faced with the most challenging conflict and challenge in your life. And then out of nowhere, when you just naturally assumed that you would fall and falter under the pressure of weight of the world, you found yourself being able to carry more than you even thought you could carry. Such is the case with many of our lives. When we honestly reflect on the journey of our lives, we would have to admit that I thought I would have been wiped out by now. But then out of nowhere, the greater rose up in me, where the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this greater that I speak of is in fact the strength that is the result of the presence of God in your life and working for your life. I'll say it again. The strength that you possess that allowed you to stand in the most challenging moments is the result of God being in your life. And I hope you don't think you've survived every challenging experience in your life because you've matriculated at the greatest of universities and you framed that piece of paper and placed placed it and positioned it in a peculiar place on your wall so everybody can see that you's educated now. Mm-mm. You're not here because of any letters before or after your name, but you're still here because of the presence of God in your life. You did not survive because you have a wealth of resources. I don't care how many digits you've earned. You could make 5 digits, 6 digits, 7 digits, but there's going to come a problem in your life where it doesn't matter how many digits you possess, it will not satisfy and solve your situation. There's going to come a moment when your hookup can't help you up. When I don't care how many connections you have in the community, there's going to come a moment in your life where if God don't do it, excuse the grammatical infraction, it's just how I feel. If God don't do it. And see, some of y'all are trying to be Sunday morning bougie, but I'm looking for some real honest folk beyond the nice outfit, beyond the wonderful car in the parking lot, beyond the palatial palace you just rolled out of last night and early this morning. You know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm not here because I'm educated. I'm not here because I'm financially settled and satisfied. I'm not here because I got a title in the city, but I'm here because God did it. Glory be to God. Just smile at somebody and testify and tell them he did it for me. Glory be to God. If you gave your neighbor your real unedited testimony, they'd probably clutch their pearls. If you told them where you've been and what you had to go through, they'd probably scoot over a little bit because all they see is your now, but they don't know where you've been. And I'm here this morning to help you celebrate not your arrival in your destination, but I'm here to celebrate your tenacity through your process of tribulation. And that's what people don't understand. Everybody wants to celebrate your graduation, but nobody knows the story of your tribulation. You didn't make it here on flowery beds of ease. You didn't make it here with a silver spoon in your mouth. You didn't make it here because you had a pocket full of money, but through many dangers, glory, I feel God in the room, toils and snares, you have already come. It was God's grace. It was his grace. Brooklyn, whatever you do, I don't care how much God blesses you, he's going to bust these walls out, enlarge your territory. He's going to strengthen your stakes. But whatever you do, don't get too pretty where you can't give him a dirty praise. Glory be to God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, get dirty every now and then. Let some tears roll down your face. Get a run in your stocking. Loosen up that tie. Unbutton that nice jacket. And let God know, I'll praise you if I gotta praise you by myself. It's the journey. It's the journey. Your journey may have been straight and upward, but my journey had a little bit of heels. It had some curves. And it was because of the journey that you are who you are. That you have the strength that you have and the wisdom that you possess. See, if you ain't been through nothing, I'd like to suggest you don't know nothing. You only singing and shouting on what you heard. But it's those that have gone through some stuff, got scars to prove it. When you dance, your dance is a testimony. When you lift your hands being lifted is a witness to the world that God did it. He did it because going from there to here is a process. Process denotes a sequence of events must happen in order to get to the final result. You're not an overnight wonder. You're not a one-step success story. You've endured process. And if you ever want to give a quick testimony to folk, you ain't even got to open your mouth and articulate nothing. Just look at them and tell them. Girl, why are you shouting so much? Bruh, why you sitting back there rocking with a tear in your eye? Why you running around the sanctuary when ain't nobody chasing you? Why is it when you look at your kids, you can't help but to give God a praise? Process had to go through a sequence of events to get to my final destination. You remember a few years ago, under the presidential leadership of Barack Hussein Obama, when he nominated a young qualified woman by the name of Loretta Lynch to serve as the first female attorney general. You remember when he was excited about her nomination? He nominated her in November of 2014. Watch this now. But she did not assume the position and was confirmed by the Senate until April of 2015. There was 5 months, 20 weeks, 150 days between the proclamation and the occupation. Mm-hmm. The president spoke the word. This is what's going to happen in your life. But she had to go through before she occupied that position. And it was during that that Senator Grassley said, I'm going to do everything I can to stop her from occupying that promise that was made to her. Other senators joined in on the bandwagon and said, we're going to fight tooth and nail to cause her to quit during. So that regardless of the proclamation, she'll never arrive at the destination because we made her quit during the proclamation. And that's where some of us are. You heard what God promised you. He, like Moses, has given you a quick glimpse of where he's taken you. And now you find yourself smack dab in the middle of for your promotion. You know he's going to promote you. You know he's got something better for you. You heard what he said when he woke you up in the middle of the night. You tried to sleep through his voice. You tried to toss and turn to make him shut up. But then you sat up in the bed and grabbed your phone and started writing notes writing words in your note section on your phone. You grabbed your diary and just started jotting down as much as you could remember what God was saying, because he was telling you, I got something better for you. He was telling you, I'm going to open some doors in your life. He was telling you that I'm going to make the crooked places straight for you. He was telling you, I'm going to bring the low places up. I'm going to bring the high places down. I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to save your children. I'm going to strengthen your marriage. I'm going to increase your finances. I'm going to elevate you on your job. You heard what he said, and now you've got to just survive the process for your promotion. And some of you are saying, Brother Ballhead, preacher, how do I know? How can I detect when I'm in the process for the promotion that God has for my life? Do you want to know? Do you really want to know? Do you want to know how to detect and discern when you are smack dab in the middle of the process for the promotion that God has promised you? Well, all you got to do is look at Daniel chapter 3 and look at the journey and look at the challenges and look at the obstacles that these three faithful men unto God had to face. The first sign that you know that you're headed for promotion is when you have to deal, watch this now, with messy people. Y'all ain't ready for me. Look, don't call no names. Just look straight ahead. They ain't gonna know who we talking about. When you've got to deal with some messy folk. You know, some folk have a ministry in being messy. They've gone to school and they've mastered and got a degree in messification. Mm-hmm. These boys had a promise from God hovering over their life. God was grooming them for greater. He was positioning them to prosper them. And all they vowed to do was to remain faithful to God. They basically said, God, I don't care how high you take me, we ain't gonna flip on you. I don't care how many of your doors you open for us, we're never gonna forget you. I don't care how prosperous you make us, we will never leave you nor forsake you, God, because we know that without you, we will not survive. So they vowed to be faithful unto God, and here comes messy people. King Nebuchadnezzar set out a decree. You know the story, that whenever they hear the sound of the music, that they bow down and worship this golden image that he created to be their God. They worshiped idols and they were pagan worshipers to an extent. And he said unto them that when you hear the sound of the music, I challenge you and I instruct you to bow down wherever you are and worship this golden image. And lo and behold, the DJ hit the music and everybody bowed down. But these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and word got back to the king that everybody was in compliance except this little small crowd of men. And the Bible says that the king summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into his court for an interrogation. And they finally made their way into the presence of the king. And the king said unto them, I heard that you boys aren't following instructions. I heard that when the music played, everyone bowed down and worshiped, but you three. I heard that you were in blatant disobedience in your behavior and not doing what I told you to do. That's what I heard. Now here's my question. Who told you? Well, watch this now. Everything I was doing wrong, if they were doing right. King, you mean when the music played, you made a decree that everyone bow down and worship. See, in order to bow down and worship, they were instructed, family, to get on their knees and bow down and put their forehead to the ground. Uh-huh. Did you understand that? That was the Middle Eastern posture of humility and obedience and reverence to a supreme being. Even today, we have our brothers and sisters of the Muslim faith. They pray to the east three times a day. They bow down. They lift their hands and they place their forehead to the ground. Here's my question of inquiry. If you doing what you supposed to be doing, can we just talk, we family? How you know what I'm not doing? If you're minding your business, why and how are you all up in my business, watch this, when my business ain't got nothing to do with your business? I know y'all want to say this. I'm going to give you one good 10-second opportunity and window to get this off of your chest. You've been holding this for as long as you can remember, but this is going to free you today. Free at last, free at last. Just look at your neighbor and tell them, mind your business. No, you can't change seats and say it to nobody else. No, I'm not going to ask you to turn around and say it to the person behind you and tweet. No, 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 no. You got that thing out. But I know you wish you were sitting next to somebody else who always got something to say, always got a comment, always got a suggestion and a thought, always got an opinion about your business. But the question is, if you handling your business, why you all up in my business? When the king said, bow down.
down. If you were worshiping correctly, you wouldn't have seen that I wasn't worshiping at all. Messy people. Messy folk. They don't have them in Columbia. I'm talking about in Rock Hill. We got some messy folk. They all up on your Facebook page trolling and seeing where you've been and who you're with and what you're doing. Just ask for a friend request. It's okay. You doing L.A. late night drive-bys, looking in my driveway and trying to see if the bathroom or the kitchen light is still on at 12 o'clock at midnight. Why are you in my... These old messy Chaldeans ran back. Frenchie and told the king, them boys ain't worshiping. We synced it. They ain't worshiping. King, no, they ain't worshiping. You know what I learned, and the Chaldeans confirmed it. I'm almost through. I got two more points. We're going to go home together. I noticed some folk try to come up off of your back. I'm going to give you one more chance. If you want to look at somebody different, that's your call. I'm just going to give you 30 seconds, 5 seconds just to tell them, please mind your business. Lord, have mercy. These Chaldeans were trying to come up off of the backs of God's faithful. But little did they know the biggest mistake they made, God, I wish I had some help in here, is when they put their mouth on the people of God. Glory be to God. You might as well talk about a president. You're better off talking about a U.S. congressman. You better off talking about your banker. But don't you dare put your mouth on a child of the Most High God. You are only writing your own obituary. You only getting a one-way ticket to hell and the grave and destruction. You've got to watch your mouth when you're speaking against a child of God. Woo. And a child of God doesn't denote somebody just with a title. But a child of God is somebody that is walking faithfully and upright in representing the kingdom of heaven. You are a child of God. If you shook the preacher's hand and gave God your heart, you're a child of God. If you've been baptized and filled with his spirit, you're a child of God. And the same principle that applies to the pulpit of touch not my anointed, I got some great news for you, is also applicable to the pew. Just look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm anointed. Don't watch your mouth when you talk about me. I'm anointed. Don't be whispering and tweeting about me. Act like I ain't gonna find out. I'm anointed. And watch this now. Even if I don't find out, God heard it. Glory be to God. And God will fight some battles for you that you didn't even know you had. You'll have folk coming to apologize to you. You didn't even know what they said. You didn't even know what they did. But because God stepped in and said, don't you dare mess with my daughter. Don't you dare fool with my son. God will fight. I wonder if I got a Sunday morning witness that knows that God will fight your battle and give you the victory. Come on and give them a praise in the room. Woo! They had to deal with messy people. These Chaldeans went to the king and said, King, them boys ain't doing what you told them to do. And the Bible says that the king inquired of them and he asked them, is this true? Are they lying or are they telling the truth that you did not worship the golden image that I set up and established? And these three boys standing full of faith and full of strength and full of faithfulness to God, they said, King, with all due respect, we heard what you instructed us to do and we've seen the golden image that you've created and designed for us to reverence and to worship. But we're here to tell you adamantly yet respectfully that we cannot worship a golden image. We can only worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was at that moment where they took another step
deeper into their process for promotion. The first problem they faced was they had to deal with messy people. Everybody say messy people. But secondarily, you know you're in the process for promotion when you're now experiencing man's persecution. Oh, glory be to God. When you find yourself on the receiving end of man's hatred, spite, and retaliation. They didn't really do anything to the king. Oh, glory be to God. But the king was offended by their disobedience to his decree. And so now they began to feel the wrath of the king's hand of persecution. And isn't it amazing that you've never really been persecuted until you took a stand for your faith? David was never attacked and a javelin was never thrown at David until after the prophet Samuel anointed him the next king over Judah and eventually Israel. It was the result of Brother Joseph that when he shared his dream, his brothers and fathers never looked at him with the side eye until after that morning breakfast around the table when he began to share with them the dreams that God the Father had given them. And I'm here to whisper a brand new flavor in somebody's ear that it's not until you begin to experience the elevation of God in your life that you will then begin to feel the persecution of man against your life. I mean, as long as you were standing at the bus stop sucking on a lollipop, folk ain't have a problem with you. But as soon as you pulled up on the scene in a gangster lean, oh glory, you understand, then all of a sudden now they jealous of you when you have to wear the same shoes, suit, and skirt for the last 3 months. Folks smiled at you, but now that you walked in looking with a little such and much on, a little Gucci Versace, you finally got one good pair of red bottom. Now all of a sudden everybody got something to say about you. When you were washing your own hair in your kitchen sink with dishwashing detergent because you couldn't afford to go down to the salon to get it fried, dyed, and laid to the side, and now you walking in flowing and letting it swing over your shoulder, now everybody got a problem with you. When you had a GED, they could hang with you. Now that you got a PhD, they avoiding you. And the question is, why did you like me when I was there, but now all of a sudden you got a problem with me that I'm here? You know what I've adopted? I think I told you this last year. I've adopted a personal motto that has helped me sleep and relax. It's allowed me to retain this youthful bliss. And my motto is, if you don't want the best for me, then I don't need you next to me. I'm going to say it again. This is going to help you sleep good tonight. Just look at your neighbor and tell him, if you don't want the best for me, then I don't need you next to me. Glory be to God. And that's what you've got to understand. There are some folk in your life that can't handle your come up. They can't handle it. They start persecuting you. They start trying to attack you. And that's what the king did. As long as these boys would have done and did everything he told them to do, he was happy with them. But as soon as they took a stand for God, then now he has a problem with them and started persecuting them. He instructed his officers, his soldiers. He said, go turn up the furnace 7 times hotter than it really is. And I want you to throw these boys in. No, don't let them take off nothing. Keep their hat, their coats, their trousers, and their shoes on and throw them into that hot, fiery furnace so that they will know and everybody else will know that if you don't do what I tell you to do, then death will be your final outcome. But little did Nebuchadnezzar know that when he turned, told them to turn it up seven times hotter. The word number seven in the Bible denotes perfection. Glory be to God. And little did he know that he was throwing them into the perfect situation. And that's what somebody this morning needs to realize, that I don't care how hot it is. I don't care how tumultuous it may be. I don't care how overwhelming it may appear, that it is the perfect scenario for God to show up and show out in your situation. If you went from being a manager and now you've lost your job, that's perfect. If you went from owning your own house and now you in a studio apartment, that's perfect. If you went from a clean bill of health and now the doctor's saying, I think I see something, that's perfect, because now God has a reason to step in your season and change it in your favor. I need you to shake somebody's hand and tell them, it looks like a problem, but it's perfect. It might be painful, but it's perfect. It might be a bad predicament, but it's perfect. This is a perfect scenario to see the power of my God. Tonto, I'm almost ready to ride. And so now they're thrown into the furnace. They got on their hat, their jacket, and their trousers. And I didn't understand, Brooklyn, why in the world would they have their hat, their coat, and their shoes on in an environment that was designed to be your last resting place? Oh, but you've got to see the subliminal suggestion that God the Father was revealing unto the king and to the Hebrew boys. What he was trying to tell them was, although you're experiencing man's persecution, and man assumes that they've got the power to put a period in your life, but unbeknownst to them, that I am God and I've got all power. And where man puts a period, God is powerful enough to put a comma there. And a period means final, finality. But a comma in the English language suggests that you pause before you proceed. And what the Hebrew boys understood was that this is not my final resting place, but this is just another step in the process for the promotion that God planned for me. And that's what you've got to understand, family, that where you are now, it may seem hot and too much to bear, but keep your hat, your coat, and your shoes on, because you're not going to be there forever. But this is just another step in the process for the promotion that God has for me. And so now they're in the furnace. The heat's been turned up to perfection. They've got a hat, coat, and shoes on. And now all of a sudden the king is now troubled in his spirit. He runs back to the furnace, y'all, and he takes a peek inside, and unbeknownst to him, he says, didn't we throw in three? But I see four men walking around the furnace, and the fourth image looks like the Son of the Most High God. Now what we've got to catch hold of is what grandmama told us years ago, that come what may from day to day, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. And I wonder if I got a Sunday morning witness that's ever been in some hot situations that looked like it was gonna take you out, but just when you were about to wave a white flag, you looked one more time and you
saw God working it out on your behalf. For the last time this morning, you ought to shake somebody's hand and encourage them and tell them you are not alone. Come on, tell them you are not alone. God's in there with you. You are not alone. God is carrying you through it. You are not alone. God's got to turn it around. And I begin to ask Levi, why didn't God let them die while walking in the furnace? And God revealed to me that his reputation was on the line. His credibility was at stake. Because once God makes you a promise, you cannot die. Woo! Until it happens. Once God speaks a word over your life, come hell or high water, he's got to help you see it through. He's got to bring you through it. Because if you die in the process and never get your promotion, then God's word is a lie. But the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. But his promises are yea and amen. You ought to tell two or three people, it's going to happen for you. Be patient in the process. It's going to happen for you. Don't be weary in your well-doing. It's going to happen for you. Lift up your head, oh ye gates, it's gonna happen for you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is gonna happen for you. It's gonna happen. And guess what, y'all? It happened. Woo! Y'all don't even know when to get happy. It happened just like God said. They survived messy people. They survived man's persecution. And when the king saw them still alive, he said, get them out. He brought them out. And the word says, he just got happy, that's all. See, y'all, the word says, and a child shall lead them. Some of y'all should have took off running too. But you trying to be cute. You trying to be sophisticated. The thing you've been praying for, the thing you've been crying for, God just told you it's going to happen. And you just... It happened just like God promised him. He brought him out of that furnace, and the word says, I can't even make this up. The word says, not one hair was singed. The word says, they didn't even smell like what they've been through. Woo! They walked out of that furnace with the same dignity, the same swag. See, you can't come out of hell looking like you've been through hell. When you come out of your hellacious situation, you better come out skipping to Malu. You better come out letting the devil know you thought you had me, but God brought me through it. You thought you were going to kill me, but I'm still alive. You thought it was going to take me out, but how you like me now? Woo! They came out of it, and watch what happened. They dealt with messy people. Nowhere in the text, and this is going to take a lot of God, a lot of God. Can't do this without a lot of God. Although the Chaldeans were talking against them, the Hebrew boys never responded.
That takes Jesus. They heard what they said. All up in their Kool-Aid. All up in their business. But you know what they realize? My promotion is more value to me than retaliation. See, you plotting and planning how you going to get them back. Oh, they did what to me? Oh, okay, I'm going to show them. No, no, no. Don't show them. Show him. They never responded. Tell your neighbor, this is your no response week. When your coworkers get on your nerves, when your family members double cross you, when it seems like folk hating on you out of the woodwork, this is your no response. No response. I told you you're going to need a lot of God. No response. They didn't respond. They dealt with the messy people. They kept it rolling. They kept it moving. They dealt with man's persecution. They kept it moving. God delivered them out of it. And watch this. This is what I love about God. God made the same one that persecuted them to hand deliver their promotion. That's why you can't change. You got to stay who you are, because God's got your promotion in the hand of your most notorious hater. So when you see them coming, don't put up a wall of defense. Open up the gate of invitation. Say, oh, come on, you want to talk to me about something? Come on. This going to be good. I just got an email from some folk. The last time I heard from them, they lied on me, and now they want to talk to me. Oh, this going to be good. Ooh, this going to be good. God touched the heart of the king and said, King, you persecuted him. Now you got to promote him. When you read verse 30, it says it very quickly, simply, then the king promoted. That word promotion means to put in a position to prosper. He put them in a position to prosper, watch this, over the province of Babylon. That province, Babylon, in Hebrew means confusion, to babble. Remember they tried to build the Tower of Babel and their language was confused. It was a place of confusion. What God made the king do, the king realized, wait a minute, your God was God enough to keep you in that crazy situation? Woo!
Yeah.
That means I can put you anywhere.
Yeah.
And you still gonna come out like pure gold. See, what we got to hold on to, and I'm through here. We got to stop expecting God to put us in picture perfect places. Places that look the part, that look prosperous, and allow God to put you in his place, his choosing, and you will survive anywhere. Anywhere. You are, as you stand to your feet, you are an anywhere survivor. An anywhere survivor. You can survive and succeed not only anywhere, but with anybody. And my prayer this morning for this wonderful house is that you remain faithful and focused as God is taking you through your process for the promotion that he's promised you. I don't know what promotion it is. Promotion doesn't always mean money. No. Doesn't always mean God's going to improve your credit. You're going to get a bigger house. You can do those things on your own. If you want to get promoted on your job, just go to work on time. If you want the house and the car, pay your bills on time. Keep good credit. You can get all out of your own. But God is promoting, watch this, our thinking. God is promoting our ability to deal with hateful folk, messy people. God is promoting our no response ability. Some stuff ain't even worth retaliation. Because if they have no part in my destiny, why am I even worried about you? I'm not worried about that. But he's promoting us finally to be able to handle man's persecution. He's promoting you into a place of peace. Anybody need the peace of God? He's promoting you into a place of peace. And this morning, I just want to pray for those who know without a shadow of a doubt. Brother preacher, you were talking to me today. Now I understand where God has me. I'm just in the middle of my process. Messy folk coming out of nowhere. People persecuting me, coming up against me for nothing. Just for me not changing my standards, not changing my focus. But God, I need you to give me the peace that'll give me the strength to stand and not run from the fire. That'll give me the peace and the faith to know that you're with me, even in the midst of this troubling time. If that's where you are this morning, I just want to invite you to meet me at this altar. Maybe you're not saved.